Brother Larry asked us to read from Ephesians 4, the entire chapter. Ephesians 4, 1 to 32. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in the hope of your calling. The Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling hath given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let us, all who are enabled, let's kneel for prayer.
Evening. Good to see each one of you here this evening. It's a blessing to see you, a blessing to be here and worship the Lord together. I want to take some thoughts from this portion of Scripture here in Ephesians, chapter 4. There has been a lot of concern lately expressed about relationships within the body of Christ. And I just want to speak to that concern. And I want to look at some of the one another's of Scripture and hopefully gain some insight as to how relationships are made. You know, the Christian life is a unique life in the fact that no one can make any individual person accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior into your heart and allow him to be Lord of your life other than you yourself. That decision has to come from each individual. It has to be made completely on your own. It can come as a result of godly parents and godly people in the church, and oftentimes does, but it's the Lord prompting each one of us individually by his Holy Spirit calling us to make that decision. When that decision is made, if you have made that decision, you become part of the family of God, the church, the bride of Christ himself. And as we heard read here in Ephesians 4, there's one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has ordained the order of headship, and coming up in a love feast setting here right soon for this congregation, we only look at that at least twice a year, sometimes more. But in the order of headship, he says in 1 Corinthians 11:3, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And Jesus Christ is not in 1 Corinthians 11 like this, but Jesus Christ is the head of the church, his bride. That is brought out in Colossians 1, verse 17, says that he is before all things, speaking of Jesus Christ, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The church, when we become part of the body of Christ, the church, the body of believers, if I can say it this way, it is Jesus Christ, pride and glory. I think it's his pride and glory when he looks down on the church, his body, his bride. And I think he wants it that way. The next chapter in Ephesians here in verse 25, in Ephesians 5, says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. The Lord Jesus Christ wants the church to be pure and holy, without spot or wrinkle, without blemish, a glorious church. He wants to present it to himself, a glorious church. That is his pride and glory. In verse 32 of Ephesians 5 says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So when we accept Jesus Christ in our heart, become part of the church, we are, in essence, as the saying goes, giving our heart to the Lord and giving our hand to the church. And again, the church meaning the body of believers made up of many members. And I think in any good church setting, I had a brother in this congregation tell me who was involved in the district in times past and has traveled to many different churches in the district when we were part of the Church of the Brethren. He said as he got around and seen the many churches, that in any good church where there's a body of believers, you have some new believers, whether they are young or old, but they're new to faith in Jesus Christ. And then you have those that are in the midlife, so to speak. We might say in the prime of their lives, maybe teachers, ministers, deacons, and so on. And then we have older seasoned brothers and sisters who have many years of experience in walking with the Lord and are very well versed in the scriptures. And a good, healthy church, I think, takes in and needs each person. All are very important to the body of Christ. All have a very important part within the body and within the relationships that are built within the body. It takes all ages. And as was read here by Brother Carl in Ephesians 4, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When I read those verses, I think of a well-oiled, well-greased machine. No squeaky noises at all. This thing's running smooth. It's running quiet. And I'd really like to think that that's the way it should be in the perfect church setting. No noise. Just we're all growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're all looking to him. But we find it's not quite that way. And Brother Glenn told me just recently that my aunt said in a setting in another congregation that if you're not involved in battle, you're a dead soldier. A lot of truth to that. But that's not quite the way it is. If we read on in Ephesians 4, and we heard it read there in verse 18, it says there, those that have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He says, therefore, we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And then he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That word clamor, we know what bitterness and wrath and anger are, but that word clamor means persistent public expression. Noisy protest is what it means. And there's a lot of straightforward admonition given in those verses for many that are struggling in their faith journey. And I think he is talking to people within the church here. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. There's a lot of do this, don't do that type admonition in those verses. Do put off concerning the former conversation. Do be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Do put on the new man. And do not lie. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. And if we read on further in Ephesians, and you all are Bible readers, You come to Ephesians 6, you read where we have the spiritual battles that we all are faced with. And yes, it is in the church, and we need to do some things to and with one another to help us through the struggles in our faith journey for each one of us. And we need to do them as verses 2 and 3 of Ephesians 4 say, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavor there means to try hard, to be persistent, to make an attempt. So we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there about the unity of the Spirit. And the truth about the unity of the Spirit is brought out very clearly, I believe, in Romans 8:16, where it says that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if you look at that verse where it says the Spirit itself beareth witness, that is a capital S in that Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit that beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Scriptures were the inspired Word of God. The Holy Spirit directed men to write as they did, so we today can have that life, that Spirit of life, the Spirit of God in His Word. Unity of the Spirit is when the Spirit of the Word and our spirit are in union with one another. We need to be in union with the Word. The Spirit of God has directed men to write it. That is the unity of the Spirit. And we need to be in union with one another, and that takes in the church, the body of Christ. It's going to take effort on our part. It may, and it certainly will, involve sacrificing some things that we want for the good of the whole body. And I ask us, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to sacrifice something that we want for the good of the body of Christ here in this setting? It's not a question for just some people, but for everyone within the body. Are we willing to go the extra mile for the sake of peace within the body of Christ? Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. It's another one of those one another's of the Scripture. We're to follow after the things which make for peace. And that's going to take some self-sacrifice, some self-denial. It's going to take some effort. Romans 14:12 says, each one of us, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Romans 15:2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. You know, far too many times I think in church settings we get the idea that, or we pass off others with the attitude, they're just going to have to get with it. I think the expression today is they just need to suck it up, whatever the situation might involve. That is not a Christ-like spirit. That does not come from the Holy Spirit, that type of an attitude. And I think those verses that we just looked at there would bring that out. A few verses further there, Romans 15, verse 5 says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We are to be like-minded one toward another, with one mouth, glorifying God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. As believers and part of the body of Christ, we are to be of the same mind. We are to be perfectly joined together and in the same judgment. That's what the Bible says. That's not somebody's opinion. How can these things happen? To be of the same mind and be of the same judgment. I believe the first way is to come to the point that we really love one another in the way that Jesus Christ wants us to love one another. When he said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. He also says, it's by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know, we read those verses over many times, And I wonder if we really grasp what they involve. Those verses involve self-sacrifice. They involve self-denial. They involve submission to the scripture. They involve submission to the church, not being self-will. There's just so much in those verses. Romans 12:16. Again, we're reminded we need to be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Again, there's another scripture that states that we're to be of the same mind. And again, I say it's not somebody's opinion. This is God's word. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And I wondered as I studied for this message, you know, we mentioned that the church is the bride of Christ. 1 Peter 3:7 says, it's talking about husbands and wives. But it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Could we relate that verse to the bride of Christ, the church? Could it be, and I ask this in question form, could it be that we do not honor the church the way we should, and that our prayers are hindered? You know, I get concerned, and I'm sharing my heart with you this evening when I hear things like, I'm just confused. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Confusion is not of the Lord. James 3:16 says, where there's envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. There is no room for confusion in the heart of a true child of God, a true believer of Jesus Christ. Confusion, to be confused, is a tool of Satan. And far too often, he has an inroad and can cause confusion by the way of doubt. And I think far too often, there's a lot of finger pointing that goes on within the body of believers, and especially in a local body. James 4:11 says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And James 5:9 says, grudge not one against another, brother, lest ye be condemned. That's pretty straightforward scripture. The judge standeth before the door. Are we careful how we talk about others within the body of Christ? And then in Philippians 2, starting at verse 1, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Another scripture telling us to be like-minded, of one mind. That's about three or four scriptures we looked at now that tell us to be of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are to be like-minded, of one accord, of one mind. That verse has a lot in it too, doesn't it? And for that scripture to be fully realized, I believe there has to be a degree of thinking alike. It must be, or we can't fully realize those scriptures. That don't mean we all need to like chocolate ice cream. We can have differences in some respects, but it does mean that we need to come together, we need to work together within the body of believers, we need to respect each other in the church setting. And I think those verses are explained in the next verses that come in Philippians 2. As Jesus Christ was our example, it says there, who being, you Bible readers know these scriptures, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is the submission of Jesus Christ to the Father. That is complete submission to the will. You know the account of Jesus in the garden and how his will was broken. Father, let this cup pass. But he says, not my will, but thine be done. He completely submitted his will to the will of the Father. And because of that, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I believe if we can demonstrate that kind of submission to our Lord and to the church, then we're just beginning to understand the love that Jesus Christ had for the church. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. That we'll be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And verse 19 says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. If we truly desire the fullness of God in our lives, then I think we will be in tune with the Word. We will have unity of the Spirit. We will submit to His will and submit to the church, His body. And the older I get, and I think it comes as the Lord blesses me with more understanding, and I have a long way to go. In order to love one another with that type of love, we need to be thankful for each other. And I am convinced to have joy in the Christian life, being thankful is an absolutely necessary ingredient. Daily. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the next verse says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The Apostle John is known as the Apostle of Love. And he writes a lot about it. And just to look at a few of the scriptures that John penned under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. We can know that he abides in us by the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit. If we have unity of the Spirit within his Word, if we are in union with the Word, at one with the Word, we can know that he abides in us and that we are his by the Spirit which he hath given us. 1 John 4:7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The love of God, I think, is so misunderstood. You know, love today is taken on so many different meanings. This is not a passive love, but it's a compassionate love. It's a love that'll correct in a loving way when someone is going down a wrong road. One that will want to guide a person in the way of truth and light. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My point in bringing all this to our attention tonight is that relationships don't just happen. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The relationship we have with our Lord Jesus Christ takes effort. It takes self-denial. It takes self-sacrifice. It takes submission for him, submission to him, and submission to his Word. And to have fellowship one with another takes effort. Relationships between brothers and sisters within the body of Christ will take effort. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. These scriptures that I looked at here this evening do not point to a certain group of people that are responsible to build relationships within the church, such as ministers or even deacons. But it is the responsibility of every child of God, every born-again believer, of Jesus Christ to initiate relationships within the body in order to enjoy fellowship with other believers in Christ. We each one have to take the responsibility and initiate relationships within the body. And I am glad that many of you do that. And I realize that there are some people that are not outgoing and their personality is such that they are just not the kind or type of people that will initiate relationships. But I would challenge each one of us to try to do that, including myself, to build relationships. And for those that are less likely to reach out and initiate a relationship, that we would take steps to try to include and build relationships with them as well. It'll take effort. It's going to take self-sacrifice. And it's the love of God in our hearts that is coming through when we carry out our responsibility in building relationships. There are those that are carrying burdens of various kinds in our fellowship here, and they need a helping hand. And you know, Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And I think later on in that, right in that section of scriptures, I think it also says that each one has to bear their own burdens. And it's not a contradiction, but it's a matter of each person is going to bear their own burdens, but we can come alongside and help them with bearing their burdens. Not that we can bear their burden for them, but we can help them with that in a relationship. And Romans 15:14 says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." And I am thankful for that as I look at this congregation of brothers and sisters, that you do try to build relationships. But I think it's each individual's responsibility to try to do that within the body. And then Ephesians 4:32 tells us to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We each have been forgiven much. I know I have. And I can speak for myself in that. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's a pretty sobering thought when you think about it. We are to forgive others as God hath forgiven us. And I think the scripture would tell us, "This do, and thou shalt live." The Lord bless you tonight.
This morning we heard about kingdoms, and tonight about relationships. And it boggles my mind sometimes that the simple things that do bother people, or the statements, "Well, I'm not going to because they don't," or "It's not my job to go over there and make it right." But I appreciate Larry's comments on relationship, because we all need them. And there's nothing sweeter than, I know it with the brothers, when you can go up and hug a brother because there's a good spirit between you. And that would be my prayer, that everybody in this congregation could have that kind of a feeling. That you'd feel good about walking up and greeting or hugging a brother and or sister to sister. Let us stand for a word of prayer, please.